Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. What a powerful presence of God. We can sense His presence right here in this place. And I know you're sensing it right now inside your lounge room this morning. Well, good morning, family. Welcome to our live stream service this morning. It's Sunday, 17th of May, is it? Have I got the dates right? Hallelujah. Yes, I have. It's on my notes right here. I'm excited about the Word of God. I know that we live in a time where the prophetic Word gets fulfilled. And, you know, the amount of the quickness or the speed of how it's going to be fulfilled will shock some of us, because we are living in a time that prophecies are being fulfilled right before our eyes. Things that have been prophesied in the Bible have been just taking place right now inside or before our very own eyes. So it's for us as the kingdom of God citizens and people, we should be excited about that. Why? Because we know that our constitution of our kingdom tells us that this is the season and the time that we're living in now. So I encourage you this morning to receive the Word of God this morning, because I know that what I'm releasing this morning is a touch of prophecy or prophetic instructions that I believe that we, as the kingdom people, but also the families of this church, should understand. Amen. But before I do that, I want to say Bula Vinaka to all our Fijian families, or everyone watching around Australia and in the city of Cairns and wherever you are today, New Zealand, Townsville, all over the world. We welcome you this morning. We want to say thank you for joining us this morning. I pray that the Word of God will minister to you, but not only minister to you, but I pray that the Word of God will actually transform your mindset, because that's really what the Word does, transformation of our mindsets and our minds. So I want to just pray before we start. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your Word. Thank you, God, that your Word is everlasting to everlasting. Your Word is life. Your Word is light, a lamp unto our feet that guides us, Father. We thank you for the Word that you've already given us. And we thank you also for the Word that continues to come alive in our spirit. And in every time we go to your Word to read the Bible, Father, we see similarity of concepts and principles that are happening in the days of, even in the days of Noah, to the day that we're living in right now. And Father, we thank you. I pray that your Word go forth, that you will watch over your Word to fulfill it, that it'll accomplish every purpose that you have for it, Lord, and it shall not come back void. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, first of all, I want to bring some thoughts before I actually start my message, because I don't want to say anything without bringing some thoughts before you. My message is really connected to what Pastor Joe just released today. What a powerful message of communion today. It's a concept. It's a principle. And we should not read the Bible without understanding the similarity or the concept of what God is talking about. Because everything that happens today replicates what happens in the past. It's the same thing. God is an ancient God. Is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that's why everything about the Bible is fresh. It's new. And we should take it and move with it as principles or concepts that using what God is wanting to speak to us about. There are two kinds of prophecies that we can receive. The first kind is that it will fulfill itself based on the fullness of time that comes. When the fullness of time comes, then the Word of God gets fulfilled, because it was prepared for that time, such a time as this. And then there's other prophecies, like, for example, the Bible prophecies are the ones we're seeing fulfilled right before our eyes. And the second kind is what I call the preceding word. It's the word that comes now. And it's something that we as the people of God should understand. Preceding means existing, coming, or occurring immediately, today, It's happening now. Today, you're receiving a word that's coming, a presenting word. It's like a word coming for you to receive. I am interested in that because I know that for our lives to change, we have to be people that are receiving the presenting word and then running with the word. Because the only difference that we can make is not just hearing it, but actually taking it and running with it. That means receiving a prophetic instructions from God and moving with it. Whether it's from preaching, whether it's from a dream, whether it's from a vision, but receiving it and not sitting on it, but starting to create something in your spirit that will be able to allow this to be fulfilled in your life. Not sitting around and waiting for it to happen. You see, those times are past. But receiving it, activating in it in your lives, first through what? Through prayer, and then by walking in it. Creating the atmosphere in the spirit in your what? Your fasting and your praying. We haven't stopped talking about that because the only way that we can hear God and allow God to guide us is through our communication through prayer. A prophecy was released over this church and over me as a pastor and an overseer of this church. The moment it was released, something triggered inside of me. That has never happened in 25 years of my life as a Christian. I'm just introducing my message at the moment. I'm just bringing you some thoughts so that you understand where I'm taking you with this. The urgency and the responsibility in that prophetic instruction is nothing like what I ever received. I guess when I used to receive prophecies, and I'm a guy that shelves prophecies. When somebody prophesies over me, I shelve that. I put that on the shelf and I said, God, if that's from you, then that's going to be fulfilled in the fullness of time. So I don't run after it. I allow God to be able to fulfill that in his own fullness of time. But the moment I took the church as the senior pastor of the church, that changed. This is not a prophecy coming to me to be sitting on it, shelving it, and waiting for it to fulfill itself. This is a prophecy God says, pick it and run with it. And it's triggered something inside my spirit that totally transformed me. I am someone that I told you that shelves prophecies, but when that prophecy came, it was nothing like I've ever received before. I begin to realize that God is going to move really fast, my friends, to fulfill everything that he says he will do. I begin to see that it began to sound like the word when it's spoken, God will not what let it fall to the ground like he did with Samuel. He allowed Samuel, and when Samuel spoke, the Bible says that God never allowed his word to be on the ground. This is what's going to be happening in the season that we're living in right now. I had a conversation with my wife, Judith, and she keeps reminding me. And I thank her for that because God's been really dealing with her, with her connection as well, with hearing from God and just tuning the frequency to be able to connect with God. And she's amazing. She's good with dreams. And see, she said to me, you know, it is only those who have what? Ears to ear. That's her favorite scripture right now. She goes, if I tell her something, she says, only those with ears to ear will hear this. You know, to me, that's an encouragement. And not only hear, but also to believe. And not only to believe, but to get up and do it. Turning to God, tuning into God, the frequency that he wants to be able to connect with us. And so our prayer life now must really rise up to another level. Hallelujah. As I said before, one of my prayers was, God, hear my wife's prayer. Because when you hear his prayer, I know that I'll be fine. My life will be okay when her prayers are answered. And that's a connection or a partnership that I have with her in pastoring the church and looking after this church and overseeing what God has purposed for us in this season and time. God reminds us again, my friends, and he said he can do this in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7 to 8. He says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child who has heard, and then it says, who had heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as, as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to a child. God is going to move things really quickly. The way we see things and expect things to happen, that's not going to happen. And he's using a delivery of a baby to actually tell us that. He's saying the woman will still be pregnant with the baby, not feel pain, and the baby will be still be standing here going, okay, give me some milk. That's how quick this thing is going to happen, this move that will be created inside the hearts of man. The enemy will won't be able to predict it or touch it until it is too late for him. And that's the kind of situation right now that we're in, where God will move really quickly. When Pastor Joe was preaching, when he was sharing the communion, he said something that is very significant to this message. He said, gird yourself up, it's expecting to move quickly. We are in the situation right now, or the season right now, that we must expect to do things quickly, move quickly. Don't wait around for something to happen. Wait expectingly for something to happen, but be ready for it. Be ready for what is going to happen. This is not a time to be us playing some nice church or coming to, we're going to fellowship now on Sunday. No. Come to church or sit down and receive the word of God. Go and study the word and say, God, what are you saying? Look at it in concepts and principles and saying, right, we're in a season now. So what is this season? God speaks through his word. Doesn't change anything. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hallelujah. I believe in the next 3 months, we're going to see some changes happening. I don't know what it is, but I know. I believe that. It's going to happen. The church, this church, I want to say, was birthed through prophecy, vision, and a mission. And when something is birthed in prophecy and in the vision, no man can stop it. Jesus said, I will build my church, and no gates of hell shall prevail. I love that scripture. This church, my friends, was birthed because there's a purpose for it. Therefore, no man can touch it. Yes, my friends, no amount of abuse on text messages and website attacks and Facebook attacks and backstabbing false accusations, attacks on our pastors and leaders, unsubmissive spirit, wolves in sheep's skin, nothing, no demons, no devils will stop the church of God. Nothing will stop it. Why? Because it's birthed in prophecy and it's birthed in with a mission and a vision. And when something is birthed in prophecy, you cannot stop it. None of you, nobody can stop it. No demons, no devils, nothing. Whatever you do, you cannot stop what God has started. Hallelujah. And that makes me excited. Hallelujah. Nothing can stop. And my pastors and families and everybody listening today, be encouraged about that. Nobody's throwing stones on our windows in the church, breaking windows in the church will stop what God is doing. Nothing will stop it. Because we are moving with time and prophecy of what God is doing. That's why I'm bringing messages like that to trigger your spirit to understand this is not just being a church anymore. We're not talking church, nice messages and good things. We're talking about preparing for something that God is about to do. And if we don't prepare, we will miss out. God is no respecter of men, my friends. And so we must prepare ourselves. Let me just give you a prophetic picture and back these points that I just made with scripture. And it's powerful. When God showed me this, I got excited. I thought, wow. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 18 to 22, when Isaac came to dig up the wells that his father, let's just read that quickly because it's really powerful. And I'll go really quickly through the scriptures with you. Genesis chapter 26, verse 18 to 22. And it says, and Isaac dug again the wells of waters which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the name which his father had called them. Also, in verse 19, it says, also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. In verse 20, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the waters is ours. So he called the name of the well Eshek in Hebrew, Eshek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called his name Sitnah. There he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called it its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Let me tell you something, my friends. When Isaac came to dug well, he had opposition. He had everything that was thrown against him. People were saying, and you will feel the same as well. People will say to you, excuse me, where is your Bible college credentials? Who are you? Where did you go to Bible college? Who gave you the rights? Hallelujah. This church faced opposition. I'm just introducing my message so you understand. When this church was planted, there was so much opposition. The first 3 years was so much opposition. This church is now established, and this church has become our Rehoboth. It means that now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish. That's why no man, no demon, no devil, nothing will stop what God is doing. Understand that, flow with it, and we will see what God is going to do. In the days of Isaac, water was valuable, and the commodity was more valuable than gold and silver. And a man with a well in the days of Isaac in this desert was a man full of life and rich, a man that was so rich. Water was scarce during this time, and it became a great commodity or a valuable commodity to the people, and it was more valuable than gold. So when you have water or well in your days, in your land, you're a rich man. But not only that, water is significant in the Bible. So what does it represent according to Scripture? This is an amazing study, and I'm just going to touch on the tip of it because I really want to bring this to you in full, probably on my second messages regarding this. The Word of God is often referred to as water in the Bible because the Word acts as a cleansing agent, which explains what Paul meant when he wrote concerning Jesus cleansing the church, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and blemish or without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 to 27. My friends, Jesus said, you are already clean. Why? Because of the word I have spoken to you. There is a part of this message that is so powerful that it will take up so much time, and I will break this into parts to bring it to you. The prophetic word released over this nation, that this great Southland of the Holy Spirit, if you look around you, it'll seem like this will never happen. It's impossible for this place to become the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy has been spoken, but I believe that the fulfillment of this prophecy will start coming to pass only when the church starts to clean up the wells that the people are drinking from. That is so important for us right now, because we are drinking from mucky, dirty water. People are drinking and getting spiritual diarrhea, spiritual dysentery from just drinking dirty water. And that's why a well is so important to the people in the days of Isaac. And a well is important in the spiritual realm when Jesus talks about it. Hallelujah. The wells in this country have been dirtied by what? Unclean hands and impure hearts. And the people are drinking from it. Not only are people drinking from mucky, dirty water, but some wells are totally dried up. There's nothing there. There's a problem, my friends. So if we are going to call this nation the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, then the church is responsible for that prophecy. We, every man, woman, and children are, the Bible says, called by his name, are responsible for that prophecy. To make it become that prophecy, we need to start changing the wells that we're drinking from. Stop staring the well with dirty hands and impure hearts. Hallelujah. I'm talking to people that should understand these principles right now. Friends, that is a reality of the nation of Australia, and the job cannot be left to a few people, just a few people. Every man, woman, and children that is called by his name, God says, everybody who is called by my name is responsible for this prophecy. To take it and to run with it. To make sure that the wells that we're drinking from is clean. That our hands are clean, that our hearts are clean, that we're not staring the well that God has placed in position and purpose for the people to drink from with dirty hands. Hallelujah. I have not stopped from that place, and I am not going to stop from that place until the Holy Spirit tells me to. But I know that for us to start seeing the power of God and seeing the mighty move of God again, our hearts, it's so simple. Come and walk blameless before God. I have not stopped preaching that. And I will not stop preaching that until it happens. And God's going to do it. God is committed to accomplish his word. He's going to what? He said that I will watch over my word, what fulfill it, but he will not let any word fall to the ground. These words that are coming to you will not be fallen. It will be not on the ground. It has to reach the hearts and the minds of the people. God is constantly calling us to clean the wells, to purify the drinking holes. We cannot see the prophecy that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit until the wells are clean and people are drinking clean, pure water. Hallelujah. Jesus said, you are already clean by the words that I have spoken to you. Then bring the words that will clean people up. Bring the words that will transform people. Don't play with people's souls and minds by preaching some nice messages. Bring something that will clean the world up so that people will start to walk in fear of God first. Because fear brings in the wisdom. Wisdom brings in knowledge. And then people stop walking in ignorance and start to walk in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. God is constantly calling us to do that. And God did not leave the important job to the government, my friends. He left it to the agency that represents the kingdom of God, called what? The church. The church is the agency that looks after that prophecy, that are responsible for all that. Not the government, not anybody else, but the church. The question is, my friends, where do we start? We can start by simply, first of all, obedience. Obeying every word that comes out from the mouth of God through this book, our Constitution. We start by keeping the level of water clean. We can start by staying away from bad influences and controversial people with bad influence over your life. We can start by keeping our hands clean and our hearts pure. We can't change anything until we change ourselves. Before you can go out and change anybody, first change yourself. First change your house before you can go and speak and represent God. The Bible says, my people perish not because of the devil, but because of what? Lack of knowledge. Ignorance is a dangerous thing, and the devil uses it a lot. Devil is a master of ignorance. If he can get you to live in ignorance, he's got you, my friends. And so ignorance is the main problem. So we need to bring knowledge back into the church so that people walk in knowledge again. We can start by doing that and cleaning up the wells. We can't change anything, my friends, until we ourselves are changed. Before God can begin a new thing in our lives, first thing that happens, he calls for what? Consecration. Hallelujah. When Papa Joe was preparing the communion message, we didn't even speak about these things. The Holy Spirit just connects it. And when he started sharing that to me, I thought, Papa Joe, you are just preaching my message. You might as well preach the whole thing. God says, consecrate yourself before I can do anything with you. Before he moved the people from the wilderness into the promised land, he said, Joshua, consecrate the people. Get them ready. Hallelujah. In general sense, consecration refers to the act of what? Dedicating oneself to a specific purpose or an intention. We dedicate ourselves, in our case, dedicate or consecrate ourselves for one purpose only, and that is for God to use us. We consecrate ourselves in preparation for what God is about to do in the time and age that we are living in right now. It is of great importance to each and every one of us today is to consecrate ourselves, prepare ourselves, tarry and wait, because the day of Pentecost is coming. Hallelujah. I am looking forward to the day of Pentecost. Something is going to break in the spirit. I know that. It's going to happen. God is committed to His Word. God is committed to the concepts and the principles of the season, age and time that we're living in, and He will fulfill it. Hallelujah. To consecrate ourselves is very essential for every Christian, every man and woman and children that call himself a Christian or follower of Jesus Christ must consecrate ourselves. In the beginning of the year, the Lord reminded me of the significance of the city of Ai in Joshua 7. Hallelujah. You know, God is committed to fulfilling His intent, His will, and His purpose. And when He speaks, we have to understand. We have to research and see what is actually what He's using to talk to us about. In the book of Joshua 7, Joshua 7, chapter 7, verse 10 says, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Stand up, for what are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I command them to keep.'" This happened when the people of Ai, the army of Ai, defeated Israel. And Joshua didn't know that. Joshua said, "God, you said that you were going to fight this battle for us. What happened?" God says, "Get up. Let me show you what is wrong." Joshua chapter 7, verse 13, he says, "Go and consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For what is that? That is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you. Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them." These words jumped out of the Bible and hit me right in the face. As a pastor of this church, I have great responsibility, greater than yours, my friends. It's a heavy responsibility. It's a heavy burden that we carry to make sure that our people receive the right food, the right manna, the right drinking water, the clean water. And it starts in the house of God, because the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. It doesn't begin anywhere else. In the house of God. We are the ones. And God is a righteous judge. And He will judge according to how and what we've done with His church. God told Joshua, "There is sin in the camp. Go and clean it out first. Otherwise, I will not fight the battles for you." That, to me, is serious. And I started to go into a place where God wanted us to be. And I've seen the manifestation of it. See, the things of the Spirit, when you defeat the powers of darkness in the Spirit, the manifestation of it happens physically. You start to see the manifestation of things that you're praying for happen because you've cleared the airwaves, or you cleared the principalities and powers. The strong man has been bound, and then the manifestation of those things start to happen. I saw things happening, and I knew that God was taking us in the right path. If God is going to fight for us, my friends, then there has to be no sin in His camp. That means in yourself as a follower of Jesus, and in the church as a whole. Many people walk in disobedience and still expect God to bless them. God doesn't work that way, my friends. God doesn't use unclean vessels to do His will and to do His work. First, He has to what? Clean it up. And we have to walk in that place. We can't expect things from God when our lives are in disarray and walking in disobedience in the Word of God. Submission to authority is very important for a kingdom citizen. I'm still introducing my message, because my message is very short, but I'm just bringing you some thoughts to tap into my message. Submission to authority, very important for the kingdom citizen. Proud, disobedient, and unsubmissive people will not be what? Blessed. Why? Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Inherit the earth." Meekness is a hard attitude. Meekness is a byproduct of humility, love, all those amazing fruits that you talk about. Meekness is actually the byproduct of that. It creates meekness inside of you. And Jesus doesn't speak anything that he doesn't live. He's a man of his word. And he speaks and then he goes and does it. And so we must look at him as a model that we should model ourselves along to that. Paul understands that. Paul said, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. And amazing. Paul imitated Christ from every word. He's a man just like you and I, but he walked in that place. The Bible begins on earth, my friends. Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth. Bible begins on earth, it will finish on earth. You have no place. You see, Bible will begin on earth and it will finish on earth, and in between that, we just have a short trip to heaven, change our clothes and come back to rule and reign with Christ Jesus on this planet. Where? Why? Because his throne is in Jerusalem, the very throne of David, the Bible says. Read Revelations. It tells you everything. Stop reading from your hymn books, because your hymn books tells you that you're going to fly away to heaven and rule and reign there. God wants you to rule and reign where? You are the ruler and heir to the kingdom where? Here. That's why he's the king and you are a small king operating in a place that he's giving you to rule, and he's the king of what? All kings. Hallelujah. That's him. The meek shall inherit the earth, he says. The book of Revelation tells us that, and we rule and reign on earth and in heaven as it is. Hallelujah. Revelation 5:10 says that have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth, hallelujah, with him forever. I hope that introduction and some thoughts that I'm bringing to you will prepare you for this message that I'm about to bring. And my message today, titled, Coming from the Place of Victory. Coming, in other words, coming from a place of finish. Everything that God has done. Coming from a place of victory. And what Papa Job introduced this morning was pretty much along what I'm going to share with you. He brought it in the sense of communion, which was really powerful. You know, I was going through my notes in our series of the Shift 2020, part 3. It was Sunday, March 8, just before the coronavirus lockdown. I spoke about the church going through uncharted waters. I remember talking to Papa Joe about this. And he, because he was a sailor, brought the real principles of it out. And I thought, wow, that's just so connected, because uncharted waters, when the captain takes a boat through uncharted waters, every man is on deck. Whether you're off duty, on duty, out of duty, or side duty, you are on watch as you're going through uncharted waters. And when he said that to me, something hit me right in the spirit, and I thought, wow. I didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know about these things. I'm not a prophet, but I just sense in my spirit that we're going to be taking this. See, as a pastor of the church, I sense something. I said, I'm going to be taking this church through some uncharted waters, and there'll be people living, and there'll be people complaining, and there'll be mumbling and grumbling and murmuring. And I thought, yeah, that's right. It happened to Moses and Joshua, so I better go study those guys, because they are the foundation of leadership. Hallelujah. And I talked about these uncharted waters and without even knowing what was going to happen. Well, my friends, we are truly sailing in uncharted waters right now. We are in the middle of uncharted waters. And I'm telling you, the only way you can get through these uncharted waters is through your prayer life. And if you don't have a prayer life, I beg you to have one right now. Start up your prayer life. Get it going, because if you're not a person of prayer and reading the Word of God, because this is our nautical chart. This is the chart that will take you through uncharted waters. Tune yourself into the Spirit to listen to the Spirit of God is what will take you through uncharted waters. Not television and all the other stuff that you're watching right now, trying to get your information from them. The world will give you the wrong information. Information is full of fear. Undoubt and unbelief and all that other stuff. Stress and all that. I don't watch TV anymore. It's just news. I don't watch news. This is your chart, my friend. This will take you through the uncharted waters that I'm going to talk about this morning. Your prayer life must come. We are talking about prayer. We're talking about fasting. And we're going to still do that and keep going because that's the only way God will show us the road through where we're going now. If you don't have a prayer life, start now. I'm encouraging you. Start to pray. Start to put some time aside to pray. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, whatever it is. If you're going to fast, fast. Hallelujah. The church should be marching to victory, like people always say. We are marching to victory. Listen, I'm walking in victory. I don't have to march to victory because I come from a place of victory. I come from a place of finish. When I understand that principle and the concept, my life was good. I am finished in Christ. Why should I be walking to victory? I am walking in victory. I am from a place of victory. And the church should understand that. We walk so much in fear. We walk so much in belief because we don't understand the concept of what God has told us. And when Papa Joe shared the communion message, he said, it is finished. The communion message is actually what we see and celebrate as victory. That's why Jesus said, take it as often as you gather together. Why? Because it reminds you of the victory that you are walking in right now, living in right now. Hallelujah. People are saying, we are marching to victory. What victory are you going to? I've already had victory. I don't have to walk much to victory. I'm walking in victory. And that's really what we should be thinking right now. The church should be already coming from the finished work of Christ. The church should be already coming from the victory of the cross and claiming the spoils that God has already won for us. Hallelujah. The victory has already been accomplished. Victory on earth and victory in heaven has already been accomplished by Christ Jesus. Already. He's done it. All we have to do is walk in it. Walk in every promise. Walk in every promise that God has for us. And that's what I'm going to be just touching on this morning. But even before that, read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. No wonder they couldn't threaten Jesus with death. Why? He was a dead man walking. Hallelujah. He was slain before the foundation of this earth. The Bible says, all who dwell on earth will worship him, those whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life, or book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. When you understand the principles of dominion and principles of victory, you will never walk in fear again, my friend. No demon, no devil will dare to stand before you because you understand the place that you come from. You understand the position that you operate from. You understand the authority that has been given to you. Hallelujah. Listen to what God says about you. Listen. It says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think, what? Towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. God knows your future. God doesn't start anything until he's finished. The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, and God, and Jesus was just manifesting that. He said, I'm already finished. Threaten me. Put me on the cross. Hallelujah. It has already been done. God says, I have a plan for you to prosper you. You have a future and a hope in Christ. Then he says in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5, I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. Powerful statement. You're going to understand this statement to understand what I'm going to bring to you this morning. Understand who God is. He says, there is no other God. There is no other God like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says. He declared that. He says, I am God, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. God says, I always set the end first before I begin the beginning. That's how good God is. That's how powerful God is. He said, I've already done that. I'm just coming in to begin the beginning. That's why your life, when Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before you were born, God knew you, purposed you, and there's something that he's already finished that he wants you to come and live it and manifest it. That's who God is. That's the God that you and I serve. This is the God that says, before you were in your mother's womb, before I knew you in your mother's womb, I knew you, created your spirit, created every purpose in your life, and finished everything for you, then allow you to come and live to manifest all that. Hallelujah. Your life is finished. Victory is yours. Everything has been done in your life. What are you worried about? That's where Jesus can say words like, be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome. Some words like that, you go, man, the man's sleeping inside the boat. People say, we're going to die. He says, where is your faith? Hallelujah. What a man. That's Jesus Christ. That's the man that gave us the word. Hallelujah. He is the word himself. God says, I always set the end first, complete it, finish it, then back up and begin. That's the God. That's why he says, there is no other God that can do that. Only me. I am the God that can do that. Hallelujah. I finish before I start. I complete before I command. God says, there is no God like that. Wherever you see God start something, that is evidence that he's finished something. He's already finished it. If he started this church, well, my friend, you guys, you need to understand this. If he started this church, he's already finished it. He finished the work of this place. We're just going to leave the future of it now. He's already finished it. That's why you don't have any worries about what people say about you, do things about you. That's ordained by God. That's his business. He will take care of it. We just do our part and move on. Hallelujah. Whenever you see him start something, he's already finished it. Jeremiah 1:5, my favorite scripture, I mentioned it before. Before you were born, I knew you. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Hallelujah. My friends, understand this principle, and your prayer life and how you pray will be directed, and your prayers will come back answered like never before. Why? Because we are placing things into the proper order. God is a God of order. And before he can do anything, everything has to be in order before something happens. Hallelujah. That's why a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen when everything is in proper order for it to happen. Hallelujah. God says, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. My purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. That's God. That's your God. Hallelujah. My purpose, my design, my will. The phrase shall stand means that it shall be what? Stable, settled, fixed, and established. That's his purpose. That's why we must come from that finished work. We must, everything we do must come from the victory. Not going to victory, but living in victory, coming from victory, walking in victory. That's the place that you and I are supposed to be walking in. That proves that God has a purpose or a plan in regards to human affairs. Everything that a human has in on this earth, God has a plan for it. That God's plan will not be frustrated. His power is enough to secure and execute all that is designed and purposed and planned. That's the God like no other God. That's the God he himself said, there is no other God. Hallelujah. I like that declaration. There is no other God but me. No one can do what I do. The question is, are we passionate to take all of this great Southland prophecy and run with it? Are we passionate enough? Are we hungry enough? Are we committed enough to do it? Are we able to do this? That's the question. That is why a prayer meeting, my friends, is not a religious affair with God. A prayer meeting or a prayer is doing business with God. It's the earth doing business with God. Jesus taught us how to pray, and he says, what? He says, pray that the will of the Father, his will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. People say, oh, you know, you don't have to know how to pray. Yes, you do. We need to know how we present our case to God. Understand, when you read the Bible, people that pray to God always quote his word back to him. Always quote everything they said, and they describe God. God is not your poker machine. I said that before, that if you need something, put something in there and get $10 out of it. Put $20 in there and get $50 out of it. God is not your some kind of a machine that if you want it to do something for you, you press the button and it does it for you. That's not how God works. He is committed to fulfilling His purpose. The problem is, are we hungry enough to fulfill the purpose with Him? God, if you read the Bible, God always continued to use people. Always. Every time you read the Bible carefully, God uses people. When we go to prayer meetings, we are doing business with God. We are connecting with heaven so that the affairs of heaven can be what? Fulfilled on earth. Prayer is people with authority. Prayer is people understanding authority, using their authority to connect with God. Bringing the affairs of heaven to earth. Prayer is coming to God and saying, we have some situations on earth that we need to rearrange a bit, and we just need some help from you, Father. Can you do that? Hallelujah. And He does. He shifts and moves things around, and then things start to manifest itself inside. That's why in uncharted waters, your prayer life must rise, my friends. Rise your prayer life. Don't come to me and say, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. Go to your Bible. Read your Bible. And then pray everything that God says back to Him. Hallelujah. Let me just close with this. Summarize this short message up. There are some things that we need to do that we have to follow, concepts and principles. I like what Pastor Papa Joe brought this morning about the concept of communion and how we connect back to the days of Moses and the people in Egypt. It's so significant for us. That's why the Jews follow everything that comes from this book. Hallelujah. Not some of it, everything, every part of it. Hallelujah. Understand your position and your authority when you go to prayer. Jesus declared after His victory on the cross of Calvary, He said, the authority, He spoke about His authority, and He says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, He says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, not some authority, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, both. Heaven and earth, all this authority has been given to me. Listen, you need to get this. And then He gives us the authority. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, He says, behold, I give you the authority, what? To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He declares the authority of heaven and earth is on Him. And then He gives the authority to us. He says, I've given you all authority to step on serpents and scorpions and against all powers. Nothing can, by all means, hurt you. What a powerful statement. And then He lets us know where our position is, because understanding where you operate from is so important. You are coming from a place of finish, coming from a place of victory. So when you understand those concepts, your prayer life changes and your Christian walk change. Hallelujah. Nothing can affect you or touch you anymore because you understand who God is that you are serving, the God that you're serving. He says, I am the God and there is no other God, and He's giving you the authority to operate in. And then He says, He lets us know where our position is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. And I remember sharing that with a little illustration before. And He says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made alive together with Christ, what? By grace you have been saved. Not by works. God, through His grace, allowed us to be saved. And then in verse 6 He says, and then He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your position is ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus. Even before it happens, in the Spirit, you've already been given that position when you are saved. He gave you the authority, then He gave you the position. And He says, now, use that, because when you use that, demons and every principalities and powers cannot touch you. Why? Because you understand these things. Don't pray blubbering prayers to God. Understand your position first. Understand your authority. Don't have to say 10,000 words to God. Jesus didn't have another word to say to God. Jesus said, I only do what I hear what the Father says. I only do what the Father says I do. He doesn't have anything else. He operates in protocol. In the spiritual realm, every demon powers operate in protocol. They understand that. So if we understand these things, your prayer life will change, my friends. You become a cutting-edge prayer life, my friends. You're going to be totally... Prayer becomes exciting for you. It's not a boring thing anymore. We have a full church. When it comes to prayer meetings, nobody's here. And that's a problem. How can you become the great Southland of the Holy Spirit when there's nobody in a prayer meeting? Hallelujah. Think about this. Pause, sell out, take a deep breath. Understand this very point that I'm making right now. When you read the Bible carefully, you find that every time God wanted to do something on earth, He had to negotiate with a human that He placed on earth. Principles. As powerful as God is, He still has to find a human. God had to find Noah and get Noah to agree to build the ark. God had to find Abraham and got Abraham to agree. Everybody, God had to find Gideon. God had to find Joshua. God had to find Moses. God still uses human beings to this day, and He is going to use you, my friends. That is why we have to keep ourselves clean and pure so that the Holy Spirit can flow into our lives without nothing hindering it. Every idol must come out of you. If you don't have a prayer life, because there's an idol inside of you and there's an idol before you, get rid of the idol. And then you find your life become transparent in prayer. And God can move, flow through you in prayer. And your prayer life becomes exciting. Why? You're doing business with God. When you go and talk to God, you are doing business with Him. You're bringing the business of heaven to connect with the business here on earth. God had to find Noah and get Noah to agree. God had to find Abraham and get Abraham to agree. And could not move, listen, He could not move until Abraham said, okay, this is a God of protocol, a God of principle, a God of order, a God of His own word. He said, I have placed my own word above myself. Therefore, my word is more important to me. If I break my word, even in the Garden of Eden, when Eve sinned, people say, why didn't God fix it right there? God said, no, I'll make a promise that when I come to earth, I will come through earth legally the way I created man and put a spirit inside of him. God says, heaven and earth is, heaven is my throne room and earth is my footstool. But yet, He abides by His word. You got to remember something. Every time God speaks, His word becomes law. And God honors and obeys law. He obeys His own word. That's why He cannot do anything. He will still use man who He placed to have dominion over the earth. And you, my friends, must understand the principles of dominion, understanding victory, understanding the finished work of Christ, and your life becomes powerful in prayer. Hallelujah. Abraham was negotiating with God. It was a tough meeting. Abraham saying to God, God, You said You're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But then he said, but You said that even if there's a righteous man in that city, You will not destroy the righteous and the unrighteous together. You said that, God. Oh, hallelujah. That's Abraham connecting with God, doing business with Him in prayer. God says, yes, I said that. Yes, I do. I said that I will not destroy anybody. He says, now go find one. Abraham says, I know one. It's my nephew, Lot. God says, I know that. Now get him out of there so that I can destroy that city. Hallelujah. Abraham went and said, Lot, you better get out because I'm about to let God destroy Sodom. A principle. God made sure that He stood on His word. He said He will not destroy a righteous with the unrighteous. And when Abraham says, there's a righteous man in there. I said, go find him. If there's any more, get him out. Because I'll still destroy that city. God says, you are right. I will not do that. He abides by his own word. Listen, you got power tonight. Why? You come from a place of finish. You come from a place of victory. You have the power to stop this country sliding into the abyss of sin and then facing the judgment of God. You have that. Bible says that when rapture comes, God will remove the church, and then there's nothing left to stop the fury of the devil or Satan. Nothing will stop it. Therefore, you can say to your neighbor, you know why you're alive today? I'm here. I'm the church. I'm here. If God removes you, this place is chaotic. Very important for you to understand those things. You have the power to change this nation. Through what? Through prayer. Through going and doing business with God. If every man, woman, and children come for church prayer meeting, come for prayer meetings when the prayer meetings are called, I'm telling you, the church will start to function the way God wants it to be. You are saved not to be sitting around waiting to fly away and go to heaven. I keep saying that all the time. You are here because your families are not saved. Your friends are not saved. Some of your children are not saved. That's why you're here. You can't be saved and waiting to go to heaven until the work has been done. The end of the earth or the end of the age is left in your hands when the gospel of this kingdom, when it is preached, and then the end will come. No president of America, no president or prime minister of this country, nobody, no leaders of this world, no one world government, no whatever you want to call it, no United Nations has the power for the end of the age except you, my friends. The kingdom of God. You have the power to go and do business with God in prayer. I'm talking about prayer because it's very important for this message. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. This scripture talks about our families, that they're blinded by what? Ignorance. And so when the gospel of the kingdom of God is preached to them, when you share the gospel, it shines the light into the ignorance and brings them out of there into the saving grace of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Talking about the spiritual battle and what we do that through what? Through prayer. Prayer is the only thing that will change the situation on this earth. You have been given that mandate, given that authority, given that position to be able to do that. I want to close now, summarize and close. God says, I say my purpose will stand and I will do all I please. That's God. In Daniel chapter 21, in Daniel 9, Daniel prayed for 21 days before he got an answer. It's a good principle to learn. The Bible says there was a spiritual war going on, and Angel Michael had to take care of some principalities and powers of high places before he broke through and came to Daniel with an answer. Daniel understood that, and he continued to pray. 21 days he prayed. Some of us pray for 3 days, 1 day, 1 hour, we give up. Oh, it's not going to happen now, and you know, we just give up. No. There is a principle behind everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, rejoice, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and it's in NIV, I noted there so that when it comes on the screen, you'll read it with me. But as surely, this is really powerful. I'm going to finish with this portion of scripture and connect it with some thoughts before I finish. It says, but as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas, and Timothy, was not yes sometimes and no sometimes, but in him it has always been what? Yes. For no matter how many promises of God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, The amen is spoken by us. God has already said yes to everything here, my friends. All is waiting for you is just to say amen. Hallelujah. When you say amen to the word of God, you are agreeing to what he already said. And don't say amen lightly with ignorance. A lot of people want to say amen to everything. Oh, the world is going to hell. Amen. Hey, don't say that. You're sending the world to, you know. Some people are living, amen. Don't say amen. Understand the principles of amen. He says, God has made their yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Principle. God makes the promise. He promises, his promise is already made, guaranteed with a yes, but he is waiting for you, my friends, to say amen. Daniel understood this principle. Look at what amen means. It means, let it be so on earth as it is in on earth as it is in heaven. That's really what it is. You're agreeing to what God is saying. You come from a place of finish. That's why amen means yes, let it be so. It is finished. I agree with it. Let it happen. Hallelujah. Your job now is to command the promise and the word that God has already given you. You don't have to make up prayers, my friends. You don't have to make up new words to try and connect to God. Go to God with his word. He's already given it to you. That is why you say amen to scripture. Why? You are agreeing with his word. And I said before, Jesus didn't have a new prayer words. Every word that Jesus prayed was exactly what the Father gave him in the Constitution. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 to 26. It says, I am who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Listen, God says, he didn't do that for your sake. He didn't blot out and become forget all your sins because of your sake. He said, no, I'm doing it for my sake. Read that. He says, I am who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. God chose to forget your sin, not for your sake, my friends, but for his sake. Why? Because he still needs you to operate and function on earth. So for your sake, he needs to forgive your sins, clean you up, so that there is a body that carries the Christ, the Spirit, becomes the body of Christ that still operates and functions that God can still use. He cleans you up for his sake because he's got work to do on this earth. Hallelujah. Not for your sake. He is God. He says, my purpose will be done whether you like it or not, whether the government doesn't like it or not, whether people come against you or not, my purpose will be achieved and fully done because I am God and there is no other God like me. Verse 26 is the key verse. Then he says, put me, man, you got to get this. He says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. God gave us this constitution. When a lawyer goes to court to fight for your crimes or whatever that you've done, when a lawyer speaks on behalf of you, the lawyer doesn't go and make up his own laws. He doesn't go and talk about, find some new book and read from a magazine to the judge. God is a righteous judge and God will judge according to his principles. So when you go to God with his word, he says, bring to me my remembrance. You know, the same scripture, God says, I've forgotten all your sins. But in the same breath, he says, now, you bring to me, make me remember. Put me in remembrance of everything that I've said. He said, bring it to me. This is powerful. My friends, when you go to God, understanding that this principle is what he wants, when you go to God, bringing to remembrance his word to him, he says, I've forgotten your sin. But he said, you bring to me what I've said to you. Powerful stuff. In other translations, he says, plead to me in a court of law. God forgets your past, but in the same breath says, remind him of what he said again. When you go to God, don't blubber on. Read this constitution and say, God, you said. This is what you said. This is what you promised. This is what you said that. And he said, bring it to me. Come on, bring it to me. I want to remember this so that I can fulfill it and accomplish it in your life. That's prayer, my friends. Going to God according to the constitution of this country. Prayer is doing business with God. And when you pray like that, something starts to change in your life, in your family, in the church, in the cities around you. Why? You're quoting the constitution and the promise that God himself said. And you are agreeing to every word that he says, and it comes. And he says, I will not let one word fall to the ground. Hallelujah. Every promise I made to you, God says, bring it back to me. Bring the remembrance to me again what I said. That's what God is saying. So when you pray, use these principles in prayer. Hallelujah. He says, I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, what is still to come. The Bible is God's past, God's now, and God's future. When you read the Bible, that's his past, his present, and his future. That's why he says, I am what? The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So when you pray, you can pray the past, pray the future, and pray today. Hallelujah. What a powerful constitution that you and I read and have right here in our hands today. It talks about everything about God. That's why no matter what you pray in the past or the present or tomorrow, it still makes the same thing to God. It still operates the same. It's still powerful as it is today. That's why when we read the Bible in concepts and in principles, something starts to happen. Because the concept of the days of Moses is the same as the concept of today, and it will be the same concept for the future. It is not, oh, it's an ancient story and we don't want... No, no, no. When you put the principle in place, something starts to happen. The reason why it's ancient, because they were riding in donkeys and chariots and you're driving around in a Porsche. That's the only difference. But the Word of God is the same. Doesn't change. It's the same. Hallelujah. Daniel understood that in Daniel chapter 9. It was a great example of a prayer reminding God about what he promised. That prayer caused God to move Michael, hallelujah, to fight and bring the answers to Daniel in 21 days. Michael must have turned up and said, sorry, mate, 21 days. It was a bit of a battle, but hey, we got here. But my goodness, your prayer. You were reminding my boss about everything that he said. And he said, Michael, you better go down and do this now because Daniel is quoting everything that I said. Oh, my friends, remember prayer, and when you come to prayer, quote God every scripture that he says to you. By your stripes, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. If you are sick today, remind God. God, you said in Isaiah 53:5 that by your stripes, the stripe that Jesus took on his back, the blood that was shed, by all that I am healed. Hallelujah. Don't blubber on about anything. Take the constitution back to him. This is, you argue points and plead your case using the constitution of our country. Lawyers do that. They're smart. We all can become lawyers by using this book to go back to God. Because he honors his own word. He will watch over his word to what? Fulfill it. He prayed something that God promised. Verse 26, put me in remembrance, he says. Let us contend in court of law, argue the case together. God is challenging you on that. He said, I've forgotten your sins. But he said, you bring to remembrance my words to you. Hallelujah. That's the God that I want to serve forever. For everlasting, for everlasting, to ever, through eternity. That's the God. A God of principle. A God that obeys his own word. Imagine that. He spoke it and then he abide by it. Because if he didn't, you and I will not have this book and our lives will be in chaos. You'll be reading women's magazines trying to find some answers in there. And there God gives us his word. Hallelujah. My friends, church, let's not be ignorant people. Let's understand the principles of the word of God, keys that God has already given us in his word. Communion is bringing to remembrance the victory. That's why he said, do it as often as you gather together, because that communion is victory. When you sit and break bread, either with your family or by yourself or with your friend, you are bringing to remembrance his victory. He says, just bring it. bring it to remembrance and let and see what I will do. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. My encouragement to you. It says, but my servant Caleb, because he has different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Caleb followed God not half-heartedly, fully. When you commit to God, you commit to him fully. When you're going to do something for God, do it fully. Complete it. See it through. Caleb was a man of character. God calls us to complete unconditional obedience to his word and his will. And when we do that, we start to see the manifestation of what he promised starts to take place in our lives. Psalm 119 verse 101 says, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. Ooh. It says, I hold back my feet in order that I will obey your word. King Ezekiah's statement to God, Isaiah chapter 38 verse 3, he says, I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight. These are prayers, my friends. These are men praying to God, saying this to God. Clearly, the word of God wants us to be unreservedly surrendered to his word and to his will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lord, I just bring this word before your people today. I thank you, Lord, that you will watch over your word to fulfill it, that none of it will fall to the ground and go to waste, that it will bear fruit inside the lives of the people this morning. I just want to say thank you, God, for allowing your servant to bring this word to the people this morning. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. I want to say a salvation prayer first. I know that if you're watching here this morning and if you want to give your heart to Jesus, this is the time for it. The life as you know it will never be the same again. So I want to finish this by saying a prayer with you. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, today is the day of salvation for you. And so I want you to close your eyes. If you're sitting in your room this morning, if you're watching from wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. If there's somebody nearby you that wants to lay hands on you and pray with you, that's okay too. But I want you to close your eyes now, and I'm going to say this prayer. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and the way that I've turned my back on you. I come to you now and I repent of all my unrighteous life. I turn away from it all and I turn to you. Your word says that if I come to you in repentance, that you will forgive all my sin. I come now. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood and for dying on the cross for me to pay the price in full for all my sin. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I receive your blood to wash me and to make me clean from all sin. Jesus, from this day forward, you are my Lord. Lead me and guide me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today so that I can walk with you every day of my life. Thank you for receiving me and for forgiving me. I am washed. I am clean. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for those that have said this prayer. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will continue to guide them. I pray that you will lead them, Lord, by your Spirit. But I pray that they also will be connected to those that are close to them, that will lead them and guide them. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've given your heart to Jesus this morning, give us a call. Or If you're far away, find a church that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, believes in the Bible. Find a church. Go there. Fellowship with them. Connect with those people. Connect with people that will guide you through the Word of God, and so that you can grow in your Christian life. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom. Shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Everything restored, made whole, well, and complete in your body, your health, your spirit, your soul, your mind, your marriage, your relationship, your job, everything that God has bestowed and blessed you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.